And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Report for today. It's Monday. It's April 1st, 2013. This is not an April Fool's joke. I don't play April Fool's jokes. My name is Doug Hagman. I'm the sole host tonight for the Hagman and Hagman Report. As we advertised on our website, we were going to have Steve Quayle and his financial insider named V on tonight. Those of you tuning in tonight, expecting to hear Joe and I and V and Steve Quayle, I apologize in advance. About 20 minutes before airtime, I received notice that the financial insider known as V was taken ill. And in speaking to him, I could tell you that he was doing his best to come on the show and to stay on the show, or to come on and do his part. The fact of the matter was, I could barely understand him. He's that sick. And the trooper that he is, the trooper that he was willing to come on, but I got to tell you, it would not have made for good radio. I talked to Steve right after that, and Steve volunteered to come on, and then we got to talking. In a very short period of time, he said, look, people are going to accuse me of, you know, grandstanding and, you know, baiting and switching and such. And I said, look, Steve, just take the night off. And at the same time, of course, Joe has inherited my migraines, so he was down. So what you have, ladies and gentlemen, is not a bait and switch program, but you've got me, Doug Hagman, here at the helm solo. The only show that you just never know what's going to happen when you tune in. So if you're okay with that, we're going to do 3 hours tonight. We're going to do 3 hours of the show tonight. We're going to go over the news. Everything's going to be the same. We're going to go over the things that need to be taken care of. Based on the way this gentleman sounded, I said, why don't we plan toward the weekend? Maybe even do a special show over the weekend. He just didn't sound very good. And in live radio, live television, things come up. We have to deal with them. So those of you uninterested in hearing my voice, hearing what I've got to say, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you when we can reschedule him. Otherwise, we can rock and roll tonight because we've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Now, as well, I'm on video at home or at www.HagmanandHagmanReport.com. That's HagmanandHagmanReport.com. You can sign in there. You can go to that website. Compliments of the Christians United Broadcasting Radio. And you can sign in and you can, I'm sorry, it's TheHagmanandHagmanReport.com. TheHagmanandHagmanReport.com. And you can see me live on video in my studio office here. Broadcasting not from the studio, but from my studio office, and that's compliments of the Christians United Broadcasting Network. Now, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to go over some news and some information, some research that I've developed over this past weekend. Yes, it was a working weekend. We'll take your calls in about the third hour. So if you're hanging on to call, hang on until about the third hour. A couple of points of note, providing these people, no one else gets sick this week. We have Stan Deal on, scheduled for Wednesday. We've got Paul McGuire scheduled for Thursday. Pretty good. Now, Paul McGuire, those of you who don't know, he's an author of, I think, 16 books and quite the quite the researcher himself. So this should be an exciting show. Now, again, hopefully, if not Friday, then perhaps during the weekend, we'll have Steve and Dion. So I apologize for everyone, to everyone, for the situation. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So if you want to watch this program, in addition to listening to it, you can certainly tune in to, or on your browser, on your, if you're in front of your computer or your iPad, go to thehagmanandhagmanreport.com. Now, if you have a, if you've got a problem with the streaming on that, there's a red box above the box where I'm supposed to be. Just click on that, and that should take you to the Justin TV site that that I will have, or that I'll be in. So once again, our prayers are with V, and I want to thank Steve Quayle for setting it up. He is coming on. Now, folks, a couple of things. I had written the article this weekend to time it, to coincide essentially with what for tonight's appearance, and that's the Obama administration's bringing down the dollar. And I had received quite a few emails about this. And when I say the Obama administration bringing down the dollar, I just want to be clear that everyone knows, and we all know, that I'm sure we all know that this has been in the works now for some time. This orchestrated collapse of the dollar. This is to usher in the new world order, of course, and of course we are looking at a end time or end game event. And someone had sent Steve, and Steve sent me an email about some gentleman out of the Pacific Northwest saying that he was hoping that the dollar would collapse because that would put an end to the Federal Reserve. And I understand that philosophy. I do. Because for narrow-minded, short-sighted thinkers, and I'm not. This is not a personal attack on this gentleman, but for those thinking in shorter terms, he is correct to the extent that bringing down the Federal Reserve and the dollar is a good thing if it would be replaced by something like a gold standard or gold-backed dollar here. Of course, that would be the great thing. But having said that, you and I know that's not going to be the case. You and I know, for example, that it's not going to be the case at all. The case is going to be people are going to die over this. People are not going to be prepared. The 401ks are going to be taken. They're going to be looted. Look what's happening in Cyprus. And think about what's happening in Cyprus on a larger scale, folks. That's what's going to happen here. So we have to understand the setup for this and what the end game scenario, end game objective is. Now, again, this is not an April Fool's joke. I wish it were in terms of both the show and my solo appearance. But we'll be back. Joe and I'll be back tomorrow, as strong as we were. And then V and Steve will come on later in the week, or we'll have a special show on the weekend, depending on how he's feeling. Like I said, man, wow. And I know how that is to feel that way. And folks, believe me, trust me, trust my judgment on this. You wouldn't understand them anyway. A couple of things in the news that we should be looking at. Oh, and folks, by the way, our home base, for those new tuning in tonight, our home base is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's on the internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. Not affiliated with any government agency, of course, you know that. And you can watch us live. Watch me live as I broadcast on the Hagman and Hagman Report.com website. That's in high definition video. If you want to see what I look like after about 12 hours of work, not a pretty sight. Blue dot time. Yeah. So that's where we're at. And I want to thank Troy very much for setting up that site. He worked very hard to do that. And I want to thank him very, very much. internal servers and the whole nine yards. This guy works like tirelessly. Excuse me. That said, like I said, we'll take your calls for the save your calls for the third hour. So if you're hanging on to call in specifically to talk, wait for the third hour. Maybe a little bit before the third hour, if we can get to it, because of the news that we've got. I've gotten so many emails that and letters that I mean I don't even sometimes I talked to Joe. I said, man, it's almost as if and I told him, I said, I'm glad we had Steve and Dee scheduled for tonight because I don't know where to begin. Do you feel that way? You don't know where to begin? You look at all this stuff and it's pretty overwhelming. You just don't know where to start, where to begin. It's crazy. But I'm trying to find a couple of emails here that would actually kind of fit with what we've been seeing here. One of the things that I suppose the biggest question I've gotten, could the banksters, international banksters, grab a hold of your money? And I want to thank Marianne too for her research and everything that she's done to provide us with information. And I mean, she's a tireless researcher. But there was an article that was published on Easter Sunday by Jonathan Turley, jonathanturley.org. The recent news, folks, about Cyprus, about their confiscation of dollars, sent chills throughout the financial world. And I think we all felt those chills, at least those of us who are paying attention. This Jonathan Hurley writes, I couldn't believe that the plan in Cyprus hinged on the idea that the bank could just steal customers' funds to balance the bank's books. And I think this is an important read here to put this in context. He writes, I muttered to myself when I read the story that something as crazy as this couldn't possibly happen here in the United States. Unfortunately, I learned that the plan to pull a Cyprus-type grab here was already in the works. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so already, CanadaFreePress.com, that's CanadaFreePress.com, our sister station in the north, had two articles aside from mine, one by Marinka Peshman, a great girl. We've had her on as a guest, and she's been a guest on Fox News, and she's an author of a couple of books, has written extensively about this, where this is, in fact, built into the financial statutes, where they can do this. Compliments, by the way, of the Dodd-Frank Act. But let's clear something up here, and I think this JonathanTurley.org does clear a few things up. He goes on. He says a joint paper by the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and we know that as the FDIC, of course, the plaques that we see at the bank, and the Bank of England, dated December 10th, 2012, shows that these plans have been long in the making, that they originated with the G20 Financial Stability Board in Basel, Switzerland, right? Remember that? And that the result will be to deliver clear title to the banks of depositor funds. Now, think about that for a moment. Can it happen in the United States? Not only can it happen, they have set it up to happen. Hegelian dialectic. Problem. Solution. This is where we're at. Let me just make sure I'm not talking to myself. Okay. Just want to make sure I wasn't talking to myself here. The article that I'm talking about explains that most of us don't realize that when you deposit money in a bank, it becomes the property of the bank, and we've become unsecured creditors of the bank. Think about that for a moment. Although few depositors realize it, legally the bank owns the depositors' funds as soon as you put your money in the bank. They own it. Now think about that for a moment. What would stop them, if that's the case, what would stop them from taking that money? Well, our money becomes the bank's and we become unsecured creditors, holding IOUs or promises to pay. But until now, the bank has been obligated to pay the money back on demand in the form of cash under the FDIC BOE plan. All right. Our IOUs will be converted into bank equity. The bank will get the money and we will get the stock and we will get stock in the bank. With any luck, we might be able to just sell the stock to someone else. But what price will we sell it for? And when can we sell it? If there's no buyer, what do we have to sell? One thing I want to make a note of, too, ladies and gentlemen, kind of breaking this up a little bit. The chat, I don't monitor the chat, all right? But what I will do is I will take a look. I don't multitask in that fashion. I will say this. I don't multitask in that fashion. I monitor emails. I don't monitor the chat. I will take a look at the chat log after the show. Having said that, I would ask everyone to please respect the rights of others. And if you don't, and after I read the chat log, of course, ability, if there's a problem, we'll have to deal with it at a later time, or it'll affect your ability to come on. Now, having said that, back to what I was referring to, if you deposit $1,000 in your local bank, you're going to think, and most people do think, my neighbor thinks, my family thinks that they're protected by the FDIC insurance. As well, you would think this would be normal. Well, even if the bank itself fails, you're still going to get your money back. Now, you've heard horror stories, well, it's going to take so many years and all this. Well, under the plan, under the FDIC BOE plan, we might not be able to fall back on the FDIC insurance coverage. Remember last week me saying that the FDIC had, I think it was $30 billion to cover $1.8 trillion in exposure. So if we have a systemic failure, and I believe Marika Peshman points this out at Canada Free Press, at her article at CanadaFreePress.com, I think that BOE, by the way, stands for Bank of England. So I think if we have a problem systemically, you're not going to see that money. So let's just kind of recap this. A bank who's failing because of mismanagement or due to risky investments or investments in a derivative bubble, think of, or gambles your money away, think MF Global, could take your money, force you to accept stock in a company led by extremely poor or even worse, very, very unethical business people. And if you're brave enough, you can go online and check out the FDIC BOE plan. If you just go to your search engine of choice and type in FDIC BOE, you'll see exactly what I mean. And Cyprus is not the only place where the international bankers are grabbing your money. This grab of deposits was put in place. This plan was put in place a long time ago. Cyprus is not going to be the last place. It's being discussed right now in New Zealand. New Zealand has a similar directive discussed in a number of different articles, if you go on the internet, indicating that this is not just an emergency measure for the troubled countries in the Eurozone. So think about that. What you're seeing in Cyprus is not necessarily the result of just trouble for the Eurozone, people in the Eurozone itself. The national government is pushing a Cyprus-style solution, and I'm talking about New Zealand now, to bank failure in New Zealand, which will see small depositors lose some of their savings to fund bigger bank bailouts. So your money, as you deposit your money in, they could take it and bail out the bigger banks or the too big to fail banks. Think about that. That's where your money is going to go. If a bank falls under the open bank resolution, open bank resolution is a finance minister bill, is finance minister Bill English his favorite option in dealing with a major bank failure. This, again, talking about New Zealand, and Bill English is the head of this New Zealand banking system. If a bank fails under this OBR, all depositors will have their savings reduced overnight to fund the bank's bailout. So just to be clear, the joint FDIC-BOE plan would need enabling legislation to be passed before it could become the law of the land in the case of, in this case. But the bankruptcy laws, you see, it really doesn't, though, because the bankruptcy laws have put unsecured creditors, which you as a depositor would be labeled as, lower in seniority to the claims of, get this, derivative counterparties, which would mean that the very parties who are causing the banks to fail could collect money before you do. Kind of sounds like a John Corzine thing. Maybe John Corzine invented this whole thing. Here in the United States, we actually have been put in a worse position than Cyprus. And I need everyone to understand this. We are in a worse position than Cyprus deposit holders. At least if people are at big banks that play in the derivatives casino, at least if you're at the bigger banks where your deposits are. The regulators have turned a blind eye as banks use their depositories to fund derivatives exposures. Think about this now. Think about this. The regulators aren't even looking. They're not looking. They're not paying attention. They don't care. They know what's going on, but they don't care. They have turned a blind eye as banks use their depositories to fund derivatives exposures. And we all know what the derivatives exposures are, very high. Well, as we look at this, as we look at the entire situation, when the investment Lehman Brothers, when that investment bank failed, unsecured creditors, well, what'd they get? They got 8 cents on the dollar. 8 cents on the dollar. One reason was that derivative counterparties required that collateral for any exposure, meaning that they're secured creditors. So the derivatives people got their money, while the unsecured people, the people that just had their retirements at Lehman Brothers, got 8 cents on the dollar. The so-called plan has been labeled a wealth tax in Cyprus, if that's what you want to call it. But the United States banks hold the deposits of the poor and middle class, and those deposits would be at risk if this type of plan is actually activated. And folks, this is what I think we're going for. I think that this is exactly the type of plan that is going to be activated. If this plan was ever activated or authorized by Congress, why would anyone ever deposit their funds in any of the major banks that could be at risk of failing? Due to derivatives, for example, or whatever. If the banks, or the bank that you have your money in, if they fell for bankruptcy after your funds are confiscated, think about that, after your funds are confiscated. The bank fails, they grab your funds. Look what happened to MF Global. They grab the funds. Well, would you, as a depositor, be left out in the cold entirely? Mm-hmm. Pretty much. This type of bank bailout is an end run on depositors and on the American people. This is exactly what we're talking about. See, this is what really gets me about the people who say, let them fail. I understand the mentality, but do you understand what you're saying? It's like the people who say, bring it on. I understand that mentality, but do you really want to see it brought on in the manner? Do you understand where we're headed with this? What would you do? Tell me this. What would you do if your bank confiscated your hard-earned deposits to pay the bills? What would happen to people taking personal responsibility for mistakes? Well, too big to fail is now too big to jail. We have a Justice Department that does not care and cannot prosecute. Too big to cover. The risk is too big to cover on their own. Is it any wonder, and think back about this, is it any wonder that the banks wanted absolutely no part of the Dodd-Frank and the Consumer Protection Agency, at least in that respect? But you see, the Dodd-Frank and the CPA actually created, if you look in within the structure of it, on one end, it looked good. It looked all spit polished. But if you looked under the hood, you can see where this is kind of a setup for the crash of the, or for the taking of your money. This is unbelievable. We have never been in this position before. We've seen this happen before. I've talked with my, this weekend I spoke with my intelligence source who said, look, you know, we've seen the basic situation, but not to the extent as it is today. We've never seen the total outright theft that we have today. We've never seen the tail end of an objective being, we've never seen the tail end of this being done. We had no clue what this looked like, what this would look like. And for so the many questions I received since my article was written, what do we do to get out of the way? What do we do to save ourselves? What do we do? I can't count how many emails I've gotten like that. There were some people I just wrote two words, prepare and pray, because how do you tell someone who has no real understanding of what's going on what to do? I mean, people that are clueless. I spoke to someone today. He said, I've got all my money in 401k. I said, take it out. Well, I'll be penalized. I said, you don't understand. You do not understand. If you don't take it out, the penalty will be much greater. Well, what happened in Cyprus is going to stay in Cyprus. No, what happened in Cyprus is coming to this country. In fact, it's not only coming to this country, there's going to be no place to hide. Because the planners of this game, the planners of this, did so well in structured this so well. They anticipated this taking place. They anticipated a time for this. They anticipated that this was going to take place. This is not a banking accident. This is not a financial accident. This is like someone taking a car and crashing it into a Walmart in San Jose and getting out and clubbing people with some blunt object. This is comparable to that situation. This is not an honest mistake. This is nothing like that. And we have the Federal Reserve in this country, a despicable organization run by despicable people, who are actually fueling this fire by devaluing our dollar even greater and planning and being the architects of this collapse. If you want to know the early history of what's taking place today, I've got both on CanadaFreePress.com and on HomelandSecurityUS.com. HomelandSecurityUS.com, you can actually get it in PDF format. The architects of our financial demise, essentially. I don't know. I don't recall what the name of the actual article is. It's part one of the second part, which has not been written yet. But you can understand that this has been planned. You see, the central bank has been planned for the United States and for the destruction. Now, I do know a little bit about what was going to be said tonight, and I'll share that with you. Before that, many people are asking me about where they can buy gold and silver and precious metals. Folks, look, I don't have a dealer. I don't buy gold. I don't buy silver. And it's not because I don't want to, it's not because I don't believe in it. That's not the reason at all. But I've directed people and gotten their feedback. And I've also heard some stuff around town and heard some things on the internet. Number one, I would not buy from anyone I wouldn't trust or didn't know. Reputable dealers, that is. And number two, I've heard some things in my hometown from people who have bought and sold coins and such that things weren't necessarily all that great. I'm not going to give you a sales pitch. I'm just going to tell you flat out. The only person I would buy gold and silver from would be Steve Quayle, only because I know the guy. And I know that if I send him, I don't know, 20 grand, he would send me the whatever, gold and silver, whatever the price would be. And I know I wouldn't have to cut into a gold bar or gold coin or whatever it would be to make sure it's gold and not some other alloy. So having said that, I would definitely recommend Steve Quayle. And if you're not happy with that, then look on your own. I don't know. People have been asking me. That's the only person I would recommend. In terms of someone else asked about the self-directed IRAs and other things. Look, anything that's in a bank, anything that you cannot have physical possession of, can't stand in front of with a rifle, can't hold, can't touch, can't see, can't protect, you don't own it, period, plain and simple. And if it's in paper, it's worthless. That includes money. I mean, it will become worthless until it's worthless. You might think that this can't happen, but full faith in government of the United States. Well, it's not the full faith in government of the United States. So it's the full credit of the Federal Reserve or Central Bank. We no longer have the full faith and credit of the United States with respect to our dollar. So I want to answer that question before, but this structure has been set up a long time ago. The other, a couple of other issues here, and I thought this was fantastic as well. Well, when I say fantastic, those of you who follow, and I want to thank the people who sent this to me, those of you who follow Jim Willey, he wrote the most important article ever. He said the U.S. dollar is the title, ring fenced and checkmate. Now, folks, think about this. Jim Willey says this. There's an unstoppable sequence of events that has been put into motion. Finally. Meaning that the fourth quarter has started. The pressure has been building for months. Some themes are quite evident, except to those who wear the rose-colored glasses. And I've got to tell you, here at the Hagman Report, we do pass out 3D glasses where we provide you with the news in 3D, or the ability, you know, those 3D glasses where you can, I'm not sure if they're 3D glasses, but you can see, let's say that you can see the picture of the picture. Well, this is what we do. Pressure has been just incredible for months. The U.S. Treasury bond is going to be brought home in the U.S. To the U.S. and British banks, where it will choke the banks. Then it's going to be devalued for survival reasons after a very painful isolation. This, according to Jim Sinclair, if you read his reports. He brings up a very important point in this. You see, here's where the situation differs than before. The Chinese and Russians are now involved in this. People think that actions don't have consequences. Benghazi, us funneling weapons into Syria and taking on by proxy the Russians, taking them on by proxy. Yeah, they've got consequences. And of course, Vladimir Putin, who was part of the head of the KGB, or a high-ranking KGB official at the time the Soviet Union went down, was brought down by the United States. You don't think he remembers the distress caused by what we did with his money, their ruble? Of course. The Chinese and Russians right now are conspiring to finance the Eurasian trade zone. Here's the deal. See, as I pointed out, I believe, in my article, China has been building their gold reserves, as has Russia. They've been building their gold reserves. And they are building this Eurasian, Europe and Asia, trade zone. The British, by the way, are also playing a part in this. And remember me saying the city within the city, the London city? When all this comes collapsing down, after all of the pieces are picked up, what kind of currency are we going to be looking at? And maybe a more insightful question, who's going to head the currency? You see how this is going to develop is we're going to have 10 economic world trade zones, okay? Kind of like the 10 kings or the 10 horns. And the 11th horn is what we really have to be concerned about. And that 11th horn is the real seat of power. And that's that miracle mile. That's that miracle mile in London, the city of London in the UK. The things that we're seeing right now, we're not going to stop it. We are not going to stop what's on track. We can slow it down. We can watch it. We can get out of the way, but many people are going to die, which, again, they're going to die from starvation. They're going to die from being blindsided. They're going to die from losing everything they have, from being desperate, from depending on the government, who won't be there when they go to use their electronic bank transfer cards for their Doritos and Mountain Dew, or Doritos and Dr. Pepper, or Doritos and Coke, or Doritos and or Cheetos, or whatever. I don't know. But you see, this is planned, because people like to separate the Department of Homeland Security, the ammunition purchases. People think of that as one simple issue. DHS buying ammunition, they're gonna fire on the American people, and I do believe that to be the case. And then over here we've got the financial stuff going on. Well, over here we got the military stuff going on, but none of this is happening in a vacuum. This is happening in a very controlled fashion. This is what I want people to really understand. This is what I hope you understand. We are looking at a very controlled plan that we are going to suffer casualties. Look, you're going to walk out the door after this is all over, or during this process, and yeah, the Empire State Building is still going to be standing. The Sears Tower is still going to be there. There's people, there's commerce. Things are going to still be going on to to some extent, but it's not going to look the same. I mean, it's not going to be a Mad Max scenario. It's going to be problematic, of course. There's going to be riots. There's going to be martial law declared. Of course there's going to be martial law declared. Why do you think they're buying all these bullets and armored personnel carriers? And people say, well, wait a minute. They're not buying them. They're just, you know, putting the acquisition on, you know, getting the acquisition to buy them. Well, okay. Still, they've got this plan. And the plan is a fluid plan. The objectives are 100%. The objectives are always the same, to take down America. And I can't drive this home enough. The objective is to bring down this country. Not to fundamentally change it, but to destroy this country. Flat out destroy it. Make it, because the only stumbling block, the only firewall, the real firewall against a global governance and new world order is, of course, the United States of America. But you see, in my article, and what my source had said, he said, you know, the difference is this. The Watchmen, and this is the other thing, too. We've been warning about this for so long. It's kind of like this Y2K thing. Remember that? Oh, you warned about it. Or the end of the world. Standing outside, hey, it's the end of the world. You know, take a sign. The end of the world. Now give me a buck. Right, W? End of the world. Give me a buck. No. Please don't understand. Please understand. It's not like that. It's kind of like the Jeremiah warning, if you will, Jeremiah article that writing. Yeah, this is different because China and Russia now have the gold. They have conspired to finance the Eurasian Trade Zone Corridor Foundation with U.S. Treasury bonds held in reserve. The British, they're going to end up superintending these 10 world trade zones, but for their part now, they're selling out the United States. And this is why we talk about the Illuminati, because where is it in? At the base of this, who are these people? Where do they come from? British royalty. Once again, the British Empire will rise again, and the sun will never set on the British Empire. This is what's taking place. The things that we're talking about tonight are misrepresented. They're downplayed. They're made fun of in the news. And, you know, Jim Sinclair says, I got to read this one. I love this one sentence. The events are already being grossly misinterpreted and minimized in the U.S. press, where devoted lapdogs, artistic swindlers, and creative writers prevail. Yeah. They're sheepdogs, lapdogs for the corporate media. The paradigm shift eastward to Asia, Eurasia, is showing its next phase, which, with a truly massive trade zone for cooperation and reduced cost overhead as the giant foundation, the United States, for all of its past hegemony and devious manipulations and vicious attacks, will be excluded from this Eurasian zone, this Russian-China situation, their dealings, of course. The British will assist in the exclusion of the United States. Why? Because they don't want to get caught up in becoming a third world like the United States will, financially. The blueprint, as I said before, and Jim Sinclair says it today, is the result of years of planning with steady information and hints and confirmations that we can find at other locations. The Jim Sinclair article he wrote, he said, this is probably one of the most important articles I've ever written. Now, for him to say that, okay, I'll listen. He breaks it down, too, into the Eurasian trade zone. The crowning blow is the financial centerpiece to the trade zone, which draws upon critical mass, bulk of the BRICS nations as the nucleus. Folks, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, known as BRICS. You know, for a while, I didn't understand. I heard BRICS nations. I didn't put, I mean, I knew BRICS, but I didn't really realize, okay, wait a minute, what are the BRICS nations? Obviously, it's an acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And I thought, wow, that's really an odd, to me, that's kind of an odd number or odd grouping of nations, but okay, that's just me. That's my little mind, or my mind not being able to really understand the financial side of things. As an investigator, look, I follow the money all the time. We did this all the time. We follow the money. Oh, yeah. But we're talking about, you know, we might be talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're not talking about quadrillions, and we're not talking about nations. We're talking about people that we could, normal people, by the way, with normal criminals, shall we say, not pathological serial criminals like we're talking about right now. But the BRICS nations have already begun to form an alliance built upon trade and economic development. Don't forget, he who has the gold rules. Now, I want you to think about something. And folks, this is kind of a homework assignment. Colonel Edward Mandel House, back in the day of Woodrow Wilson, had set up the central banking system, was a big proponent for the central banking system, and of course the Council on Foreign Relations, Bill of Burgers, anything. I mean, not trilateral, but you get the idea. The secret societies, along with the takedown of the United States, Colonel Mandel House, as well as Woodrow Wilson, were talking about bad people, in my estimation. Mandel House especially. Wow. But think. Remember, was it the 60s or 70s? This is kind of like a homework assignment. His granddaughter is saying something to the effect of, hey, there's no gold in Fort Knox. She was a resident of New York City at the time. After she said that, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 days later, she jumped, and I say jumped, with quotation marks, jumped to her death, splattered on the pavement from a skyscraper in New York City. But keep that in the back of your mind as I note that he who has the gold rules. You see, the BRICS nations have formed this alliance in trade and economic development. And I don't want to make this boring for you, because I'm going to bring this back home to show you what's going on here. But you need to kind of know this part of the story to understand what's going on in America. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening to this in the UK, by me naming the city of London, that does not disparage all of the UK. God bless you for listening. Nor would it, if I mentioned Washington, would it disparage or be disparaging for the entirety of the population of the United States. But know that in Washington, as in London, as in Vatican City, and oh, by the way, the International Order of Religious Works, the Vatican Bank is a Rothschild-owned bank, and of course they play into this as well, which I talked about the duality of the papacy at the Vatican. Again, this is not to talk bad about Christian or about the Catholics. This is when talking about the politics of the Vatican Bank. It's a big difference here. But that said, understand that the Eurasian area, this Eurasian zone, is being formed with an energy foundation. Why pay for oil, for energy in dollars, when actually you can pay for it, or you can have it paid for by gold? There's pipelines that are dealing with pipelines from Russia to Central Europe and from Russia to China. Completed pipelines will flow. Other pipelines are going to be completed in this area. Crucial, very vital, very important relationships have been made and have been finalized. There are more to come. Additional important pipelines along the periphery, if you will be completed as well. Iran-Pakistan, for example, despite our own objections, that is, objections from the U.S. government. And, you know, Paul Sperry wrote a book, and I think I might have it here, not within arm's length. It's called Crude Politics. Crude Politics. Paul Sperry, if you have a chance, grab a hold of that book if it's still in print. I believe it is. It tells us why we went into Afghanistan, who the players were. If you're like me and you think, well, why didn't we just bomb the heck out of this, out of the Taliban, which were kind of fairly isolated, and get the heck out? Why are we spending 12 years in Afghanistan? Well, Crude Politics explains it. It's about the pipelines. It's about the oil. And it's not for us. It's not for you and I, the uninitiated. It's not for you and I, the people who aren't a member of the club. It's for the globalists. That's what it's for. It's for the Obamas and the George Bushes and the Christine Lagardes and the Thatchers and the people like that, okay? Those people kind of like. It's for the royalty, not for the unwashed masses, not for you and I. No, it never was for you and I. Understand that. Consider that the BRICS Development Bank, it's not about funding various infrastructure assets. No, not at all. That's what the delusional press in the United States reports. That's what you might hear from the broadcast networks like MSNBC and such. No, it's going to form a credit line for various other projects, if you will. And trade, more importantly, that will not include the U.S. dollar. See, what's taking place here is a redistribution of wealth, a planned and orchestrated redistribution of wealth at the exclusion of the United States. The currency markets, our manipulation, the things that the United States were involved in, specifically the Federal Reserve and such, and specifically the, the gold fraudsters, if you will, the fascist bankers, the Washington D.C. denizens who are in bed with the global bankers. You know, they've printed money, they've given excuses to the American people ad nauseum. Do you think, for one moment, that the BRICS are going to accept this? Of course not. Of course not. This is, nor will the United Kingdom. And if you look at the objectives of the Illuminati, what's going on in North Korea? In South Korea, by the way. And what does this have to do with money? Do I have ADD all of a sudden? Now am I jumping back and forth to things? No, that plays a very important role, as does the Middle East, into what we're talking about. The second hour, I'll get into that, because that's important. Because, you see, these things are connected. The Middle East is connected. North and South Korea is connected. Syria, North Africa, Africa, that's all connected. The Jim Willie was talking about the unspeakable abuse of the United States credit. It's going to end as the dollar will and as the global currency, global reserve currency, that is, we're going to be toppled. The U.S. leader crew led by the fascist bankers can print money, counterfeit bonds all they wish, but the currency will be required to submit to grand devaluation if they want to purchase supplies from the massively lopsided and imbalanced U.S. economy. The greatest travesty in the marketplace today. Well, the Keystone Pipeline is corrupted by the U.S. government with hidden beneficiaries such as Halliburton, Burlington Northern. Well, they're essentially divvying up this gangrenous patch of the exhausted, bloated American torso. The vast pipelines of Europe and Asia continents, well, they're merging. They're not going to include the Americas, North America. The United States, not at all. The Trans-Pacific Partnership pushed by the Obama administration, it's actually attempted, it actually attempted to form a trade zone with Asia on the condition that the lead nations, Japan and South Korea, excluded China and such. And there was some politics that was played back and forth, but the bottom line, it was a pretty ignorant move on their part. Once again, he who has the gold rules. Now, the British are heavily and deeply involved in this. You see, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, we are going to be looking at a British Empire return of Camelot. Remember me talking about the Olympics, and you thinking, man, this guy's really crazy. The opening ceremonies, the 30th Olympiad being held in London in 2012. And remember me talking about all the symbolism? Wow. That was to tell what was to come. If you look at the symbolism contained in the Olympics, you're seeing it play out right before our very eyes. Now, I've got to tell you something. I don't think I would have really believed this had I not spent hours listening to a program called A View from Space out of Toronto. And I've mentioned this before, and I want to give a shout-out to the spaceman, as he calls himself. He's not talking about space issues necessarily, but A View from Space, it airs every Saturday on 6:40 a.m. out of Toronto. And I want to give a kind of a really hat tip to him for cluing me in on the very intricate nature of what we're seeing play out here. But if you look at what we saw during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, if we look at what we saw, what was being shown to us, they were showing us what they were going to do, and they are following this to the letter. That is the Illuminati, the Luciferians, the demonic element behind what we're seeing, this non-accident, this orchestrated collapse of the U.S. dollar. This is what we're seeing. They told us what we're going to do. They are making it so. The sun never sets on the British Empire. It's a reinstitution of Camelot. Isn't it? That's exactly what they want. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. I just want to mention this, that if you're tuning in late, of course, our special guest, Steve Quinn, Alan V, are not with us, nor is my co-host, Joe. V is extraordinarily ill. It sounds terrible. And you would not have understood him at all tonight. And Steve, we talked, and he said, well, you know, he'll come on with V as opposed to coming on tonight. And, of course, my sidekick, my co-host, my son, Joe, is nursing a migraine, so it's just me all alone here in the driver's seat on this first day of April 2012. Folks, we're going to be right back after these messages. I do want you to stay tuned. I have got a lot of other information, just a ton of information to get into. about what we're seeing taking place here. I want to give you some history. In addition to history, I also want to give you some practical tips and what to look for, as far as I can tell, on things that are taking place. How to protect yourself. You're listening to Doug Hagman. Today is the first day of April, 2013. We're right back after these messages. Stay with us.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, P-H-Y-S-I-C-S.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a horologium nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, P-H-Y-S-I-C-S.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And I want to welcome everyone back to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's Doug Hagman flying solo tonight. If you're just tuning in, just joining us, for the stations that do join us at 10 o'clock Eastern time, if you tuned in to hear Steve Quayle with the Financial Insider V, as I explained at the beginning of the show, V is extremely ill, a viral thing. Not poison or anything like that, so don't worry about that. But he sounded horrible, and if he would have come on, and up until the last minute, he was thinking, well, maybe I can do it, but it would be like me talking with a pair of tube socks in my mouth. It just sounded horrible, and of course, Steve said that he would join Steve, or he would join V during a program toward the end of the week, so you just have me. But our home base, folks, is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Thanks to the Christians United Broadcasting Network. God bless the Christians United Broadcasting Network, Troy, for his work that he's done. That's, you can watch me live in living color if you want to see me talk to you at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. That's the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. So if you have an iPad, or if you're sitting in front of your PC or an iPhone, you can click on the Hagman and Hagman Report.com, where you will see me and also hear me as well. There is a chat feature there as well. Like I said, I don't do chat during the show. I do take emails. I don't do chat. I don't monitor chat. If there is a problem in chat, I will deal with it later and rectify the problem at some future point. So if there something gets unruly, trust me, we'll handle it. Now, having said that, I'll be taking your calls during the third hour. But I think the most important story of our time right now is what's taking place with our economy. And it's orchestrated. It's going to be a situation where many people who are not prepared are going to starve. They're going to die. They're going to be relegated to FEMA camps. You wonder why? Do you really have to wonder why at this point? These refugee centers are being built. It's for people who lack the preparedness or the ability to get out of the way of what's coming. And when I say get out of the way of what's coming, I mean the people who refuse to listen, who refuse to go along with this plan, or who are otherwise non-self-sufficient. They need and are used to the government assistance. Diana wrote me an email, and I think this needs addressing at this particular point. She had written a couple of questions that she's asking for some dots to be connected one day. Let me try to connect some dots that she brings up right now. She writes that there's enough oil, for example, in North Dakota to dwarf Saudi Arabia. People are moving there in great numbers, of course, for big salaries. And she also writes there's enough oil in Alaska to supply the U.S. for 200 years, it's estimated, based on a 2008 claim. And she also writes that oil around Cyprus, that's more important than Cyprus itself. There's enough energy there. In fact, I believe when it was V that said there were 60 million cubic tons of natural gas there. Her ultimate question is, so why does the USA so annoyingly kowtow to the Saudis at their beck and call, and we do their dirty work, as we've talked about with Benghazi, as if we must do so for oil? What else motivates us, the United States, the U.S. government? And I could answer that question. Remember earlier I said the book by Paul Sperry, Crude Politics, here it is right here. I grabbed it from the bookshelf. It has, in fact, some of the answers, Diana, that you're looking for. The if you remember, I don't read on the air, by the way, but I just want to say this and just want to kind of paraphrase something here. The President Bush, back during the October 2002 event, during a 2002 event at the White House, where Afghan dignitaries had gathered at a ceremony commemorating the liberation of Afghanistan. You remember back that far, back in 2002? Remember when we liberated Afghanistan? If we liberated Afghanistan, what are we doing there? What are we doing there in 2013? Even one soldier, what's one soldier doing there? Or 10, or 1,000, or 10,000? What are we doing there? Well, during the October 2002 event, it was held in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. Bush spent close to 30 minutes going over all of the highlights, all of the things that he had done before the war on terrorism. He noted that girls over the age of 8 couldn't even set foot in an Afghan school. And, of course, because of the Taliban, well, the Taliban was wiped out. But now, thanks to the liberation that we provided for them, they can go to school and they're not hungry and such. Very touching as it was, while Bush was celebrating the liberation of the Afghan people from the Taliban, hunger and rabid donkeys, the real enemy, were still killing Americans. In fact, the day after his self-congratulatory meeting and celebration, Al-Qaeda terrorist car bombed a nightclub in Bali, for example, killing close to 200 people there, many of which were Americans, if you remember that. And 3 days earlier, Al-Qaeda snipers killed a U.S. Marine, wounded another in Kuwait and elsewhere in the Middle East, and all sorts of things were happening. Well, and of course, the fable of Osama bin Laden continued and such. What am I getting to? I'm getting to the fact that Al-Qaeda was really never addressed, the real threat. Now, there is a real Islamic threat. Don't be fooled, but the real threat was never addressed. What they did, in the words of George Bush at that time, there's still a lot of work to do in Afghanistan to achieve our dreams. Note that sentence, to achieve our dreams. The country basically has to be rebuilt, according to George Bush. We're currently implementing more than $300 million worth of reconstruction and recovery projects, including schools, hospitals, and of course, the most important thing of all, he did not include a trans-Afghanistan oil gas pipelines. Long time dream of the Bush family dynasty, and of course his behind the scenes Afghan advisor, who was named Zalmay or Zal Khalilzad. You see, the players in the Afghanistan arena don't want to use the oil deposits in this country. They say why? Because it's, you don't want to endanger the pristine Alaskan area. You don't want to endanger the North Dakota pristine. You don't want, of course, this would ruin, it could have devastating ecological consequences. But the real reason is the money that is being made on the oil itself. The people like, for example, George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, don't forget the Aramco in Saudi Arabia that started everything, and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, Bush's national secretary at the time. And, of course, I mentioned that Zalmay Khalilzad, Richard Armitage, are any of these names ringing a bell, ladies and gentlemen? Wendy Chamberlain, very interesting person, Wendy Chamberlain. She was Bush's former ambassador to Pakistan, who met with Pakistani's oil minister right after 9/11. Now, Wendy Chamberlain served as a Mideast security advisor to Bush's father when he was president, plays an important role in this. Christina Rocca, Assistant Secretary of State for South Asian Affairs. Now we're getting to some oil over there in the Afghanistan-Pakistan area. Worked with Armitage. And, of course, we have Senator Brownback, and I could go on and on and on. I could name all these people, as did Paul Sperry in the book Crude Politics. And, of course, most luminary of all is Henry Kissinger, the former Secretary of State, the chairman of, at the time, Kissinger-McClarty Associates, a Washington-based lobbying firm, and also an advisor to the U.S.-Azerbaijan Chamber of Commerce. How convenient is that? He, too, consulted for Unocal, an oil company. Kissinger, by the way, was Bush's first choice to head the 9/11 commission. You think that there might be a little bit of an issue there? You see, there is a problem with the getting the oil through Afghanistan. As Paul Sperry notes, that the, I'll just say this, imagine a lake close to the size of the state of California, and not too different in shape. Well, that's the Caspian Sea of Central Asia, which is the largest inland body in the world. Underneath that Caspian Sea, underneath the seabed in the former Soviet republics that surround it, well, is a trove of rich and vast hydrocarbons. It rivals anything found in Alaska in the North Sea. It rivals anything found even in Saudi Arabia. It rivals anything found in America. Well, trillions of dollars in oil and energy were waited to be mined from there. Yet there was a problem. The problem was the Taliban. The problem was the government of Afghanistan. They needed to get that energy, that oil, out of the Caspian Sea, and they needed to do it efficiently through Afghanistan, but they couldn't, which is why, by the way, in prior to 9/11, 1997, I believe it was, the oil men in Texas had invited the Taliban over and wined them and dined them and said, hey, look, we'll pay you. You know, and they had set them up with beautiful women and high-class dinners and all of this. Well, the bottom line was it didn't happen. So one can ask, was this Afghanistan issue? Was it part of the attack on Afghanistan? Was it a pre-planned attack? The sustained measure of being in Afghanistan, nation building, is this part of a larger issue? Yeah, I think it is. And Paul Sperry does make it a point, and I won't go through the book, but again, it's called Crude Politics. It's by Paul Sperry, and it's a great book. If you have a chance, grab it. The Hidden Agenda, of course, here is, and I will refer back to this one more time because I feel kind of I left it without closure, proper closure, when we're talking about Afghanistan in that area with respect to oil. He does write that there is a hidden agenda, that being the removal of oil on behalf of the big oil companies from the Caspian Sea area. You think about this. 9/11, when 9/11 happened, most Americans didn't really understand, and I certainly didn't know, that Afghanistan had anything to offer us. Well, the Bush administration, both administrations, knew all too well that, in fact, Afghanistan did. Before the attacks, it supported the development of oil and gas pipelines all across Afghanistan, connecting the landlocked Caspian riches with profitable Asian export markets. Now, Afghanistan's significance from an energy standpoint stems from its geographical position as a potential transit route for oil and natural gas exports from Central Asia to the Arabian Sea. The Energy Department had stated as much right before 9/11. Well, the pipelines also had the backing of several senior Bush officials who had a hand in shaping the war strategy in Afghanistan. So think about this. As we did the war in Afghanistan, the very people, the very architects of the war, were the very same people who had personal financial stakes in the oil. So without being political, forget the politics. I mean, in this case, the left or the Democrats were right about the Republicans in this case. But believe me, their hands are not free from blood themselves. But with respect to the Afghanistan, the oil there, one thing stood in their way, and that was the Taliban. So on September 11th, as tragic as it was, it provided the oil-friendly Bush administration the cause, the need, the golden opportunity to remove the impediment of the Taliban and of that regime, thereby breathing new life into the pipeline deals. And it's unfortunate because the officials became so preoccupied with breathing new life into this pipeline deals that they forgot the ultimate objective, and that's to eradicate the enemy, the real enemy, which has shifted. But see, as much as they are the real enemy, the bigger enemy and the bigger picture are the people, the puppet masters. Because without the puppet masters, without the bankers, without the very people who are funding the Taliban and funding Al-Qaeda back then, and even now, we wouldn't have a problem. But we do. And still do. So we are today, we are actually funding, as we know, and as all you know, we're funding Al-Qaeda, we're funding the Taliban. But the 9/11 issue, we're looking at the oil issue. You see, the war plan for the takeover of these countries, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, was drafted much, long before 9/11. The three world wars, as we know them to be today, as defined by the Illuminati, long before 9/11. 9/11 was just the hinge moment, was just the seminal event to allow us to be fooled, people like me, to be fooled. Hey, let's bomb the heck out of them, right? Let's go in and bomb the heck out of them, not knowing the backstory, not knowing, for example, Diana, not knowing that, oh, okay, yeah, we have the oil, but see, they have the oil, and they have a stake in the oil over there. And, oh, by the way, they're saving the oil over here, not because it's going to be good or bad for the environment, because they don't really care. But you see, when we're divvied up in these 10 trade zones, they'll tap into that oil, but they'll do so when they need to do it in their time. It's all part of it. This manufactured oil crisis, if you remember the lines, the oil, the gas lines in the 70s, remember those? They're coming back again. Except, well, actually, I don't know if they're coming back in that fashion, because no one will have the money to buy oil. But in the end, let me bring this back to Cyprus. The real issue here is China and Russia are conspiring against the United States. And keep in mind, folks, that when we talk about things like the New World Order or One World Government, there's a lot of theater playing out. And I said before the break that we talk about South Korea and, of course, the Middle East as well. There's a lot of theater taking place here. The world is going to be divvied up or broken up into 10 trade zones or economic zones in that, during that course. There needs to be the appearance or the illusion of infighting. Right now, the central bankers are headed by who? Well, the one family is the Rothschilds, there's an S in there. And people will say, well, the Rockefellers are in there too. Well, true, they are. But the Rothschilds basically have taken over the operation, and they're enforcing the European component onto America, and have kind of absorbed the Rockefellers, but the old money. But in the end here, the plan, the end game plan here, the BRICS, as I mentioned before, the BRICS Development Bank, the BRICS Development Area, or Monopoly, or whatever you want to call it, will be supported by U.S. Treasury bonds. At least at first, the primary seeding is quite obvious. The emerging nations have collected a lot of resources from successful trade over the last decade, primarily held in U.S. Treasury bonds. Now, they don't wish to hold them since undermined and debased by their own steward at the Federal Reserve, because they're worthless. The big Eastern nations have committed $100 billion for the BRICS Development Fund, or the BRICS Bank, if you will, the BRICS organization. Whose liquidity, by the way, Where do you think it lies? It lies in U.S. Treasury bonds. Now, on a gradual scale, the U.S. Treasury bonds are going to be converted to gold bars for the core bank asset and the development fund. Some of the 600 metric tons of gold bullion removed from the London banks, Eastern entities here in the last year or so, they're going to find their way to the BRIC countries. The initial role of funding critical important projects like pipelines and communications and all of these, the infrastructure, all of this, that'll be done, it's clear, but the more overreaching role of this BRICS group, this central banking core, this clearinghouse, if you will, of control mechanisms, is the, well, it's got a dual role. The emerging nations have had their fill of the United States dollar, of course, because it's backed by nothing. Their control mechanisms and such, the initial or International Monetary Fund Steering Committee and others. Gold, as I said before, he who owns the gold rules. Well, gold notes, gold itself is finally going to be used for trading purposes, thereby wiping the dollar out. Gold will facilitate the purchase, or will facilitate the process, I should say. And the Eurasian, Russian, China Energy Foundation, their strategy, it's all going to be gold for energy, not dollars for energy, thereby killing the dollar. Because what is the dollar represented by? What's it backed by? Nothing. Well, the free flow of energy and oil. Having said that, have we not seen joint exercises between Russia and China here up late? We have. Has this been reported on in the Western media? Not with any vigor. So what we're seeing is the end game scenario. So people like that gentleman who I will not name in the Pacific Northwest, who calls me an alarmist because he thinks that the death of the dollar is a good thing. No, the death of the Fed is a good thing, not the death of the dollar, not the death of a nation's currency. But to those people who wish it to be, I'll say that we're going to have some pretty serious issues to contend with. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if this is going to take place in a year, a month, a week, 2 weeks. I don't know. But I do know, you can't set dates, but I do know this is the end game plan. And we're seeing it play out. We went over this in the beginning. Could the bankers grab your bank deposits? Of course they can. One thing I wanted to go over just very briefly here as well, and I think this is extremely important. We talk about, it's very easy to talk about socialism. It's very easy to talk about communism. And you wonder how communism and socialism might fit into what's going on today. Well, we know that Hitler existed, right? That's obvious. Everyone knows. No one disputes that. The terror and destruction that he caused, that he inflicted upon the world, is recognized the world over. No one disputes it. This guy was a high school dropout and had no one, and nobody ever accused him of being very cultured, by the way. Yet he tried to control, conquer, and take over the world. During his early years, he sat in a cold garret and poured onto paper his ambitions, by the way, to rule the world. Mein Kampf, remember that? Yeah. We also know about Lenin, for example, folks. We can go back in history. We know that Lenin existed much like Hitler. Lenin didn't spring from just a family of social luster. He didn't know. He was the son of just some petty bureaucrat, actually. spent most of his life in poverty. And I think we have to look at this, because look at who we have running the United States of America today. You see, people look at Obama and they say he came from humble and poor beginnings. Well, we don't really know where he came from. But having said that, they said the same thing about Hitler and Lenin. It's not theoretically possible, one would say, one would argue, and I've heard this argument here, that a billionaire, for example, or billionaires could be sitting in a penthouse or penthouses in London or New York or wherever, and have the same ideology and the same dreams and the same goals and objectives as Lenin or Hitler. Nah, it just couldn't be, because why? They've got all the money they need. Obama, you know, Peace Prize winner. But you've got to admit it's possible, right? Julius Caesar, he was a wealthy aristocrat. He had those designs. Anyway, it's difficult for us, folks. I've got to tell you this. It's difficult for us to fathom this perverse lust we are seeing for power. The typical person, you and me, whatever, I don't care if you're British, if you're Australian, if you're listening to this program right now, you want the truth. And obviously, unless you're a shill, you're a normal person. You're a normal guy. You're a normal woman. You don't have this crazy mental lust for power. Well, think about, it's so difficult to believe that what we're seeing, there are people like this. There are billionaires. There are people like the George Soroses of the world, and Henry Kissingers of the world, and the people who deem themselves better than us, the Illuminati, the Illuminists. It are the royals family, the Camelot people, the people of the UK. These are the people, the 300 or so, or maybe the 1,000 people that run the country. See, people say, oh, I'm not big on conspiracy theories. Well, it's not a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at this, it's not a conspiracy. What are we seeing? If you look at, ask a Cypriot if they believe in conspiracy theories. Ask a Cypriot if they would have liked, see, what's this guy's name? Hang on, Cliff High. Hi, Cliff. Cliff High. Cliff High is the guy out in the Pacific Northwest. I should even give him the publicity that he doesn't deserve, but he's the one that says, God bless the death of the dollar. Not understanding, ladies and gentlemen, what it's going to do to this country, and not just this country, because we are the firewall. But it's going to bring in, it is going to usher in the death and destruction and starvation of many people. And you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse, because that's the mentality of these people. I think it was Cliff High, by the way. Got kind of excited there, didn't I? Better double check that, huh? Well, hold on a second. I'll be right with you there. Got to double check this. I believe it was. Here it is right here. Yeah, Cliff High. All right. Sorry about that. I don't normally address critics. I just don't want to do that. But I guess the what's important, really, what I really want to say, what is important is, do you understand what is going to happen here? Because we've got the mentality of the revolutionaries in charge. We've got the Obamas. We've got the Ayers and Dornan people in charge. You've got the Van Jones people in charge. You've got these psychopaths in charge. You've got the Bernankes and the Geithners, the Sumners in charge, the Goldman Sachs people, the J.P. Morgan people in charge. These are the people that are bringing down this country. They're not American. They're globalists. The Bushes, that's, and everybody named in this book, Crude Politics, and everyone named in this book, The Naked Communist, by W. Cleo Skousen, aged but right. You see, it's that mentality, folks, that we're dealing with. The concept that communism is just an arm of a larger conspiracy should be so apparent, that socialism, communism should be so apparent. You've got to understand the communism, the socialism. First of all, the progressive people out there, they are leading us to socialism. Basically, they are socialists. And the socialists are leading us to communism. And the communism is the tool for the one world governance. And see, people like Rachel Maddow, who put their sexuality ahead of their sensibilities, they're not going to find a seat at the table. And for people like Ed Schultz and Chris Matthews to put their greed and their desire for a seat at the globalist table ahead of their sensibilities, they're not going to find a seat at the table. And for the people at Fox who refuse to discuss the eligibility issue, to refuse to discuss the roots of Obama, or who refuses to discuss this conspiracy theory of all of these arms, of all these, this ammunition, They're just as bad. Folks, you know, it's, once again, those joining us at the bottom of the second hour here, expecting V and Steve Quayle. I apologize. My apologies. Like I said, V is pretty sick. The Financial Insider gentleman is extremely sick. But he's got a viral, very bad viral infection. And he sounds horrible, horrible. You would not have wanted me to have him on. And of course, I talked to Steve, and we said something up for later in the week. So that said, I will make an announcement, or we both, Joe and I, will make it. Joe will be back tomorrow as well. We'll discuss. We'll let you know when they'll be on. Now, Wednesday, Stan Dale from 8 to 10. And Thursday, Paul McGuire. I've heard a lot of you folks have been asking for Paul McGuire to be on. So Thursday, Paul McGuire is going to join us for the show. And of course, if we can get, I think Pastor Paul Begley will come on as well on pretty soon. So I'm just going to close this hour and then take your phone calls next. Just want to tell you, when we talked, when Obama talked, or Van Jones talked about, and you've heard Glenn Beck talk about this, maybe you didn't listen, or maybe you didn't understand, or maybe we still don't understand what he was talking about. Pressure from above and pressure from below. You see, the establishment's official landscape artists have done just a marvelous job of painting people like Obama and others is, well, you know what? I'll say this. They've done a great job of painting Bush as a conservative. They've done a great job as painting Obama as a progressive. But the real truth is there's only one party, and that's the party of the globalists. Because can't you see, and I know you can see, that we have this situation where the continuity of agenda is present. Everything's the same. It's hard to imagine things being different. Wouldn't you agree? Even if Romney was in the driver's seat, it's hard to imagine of anything changing while the system remains the same. I think we've seen right now that the enemy is already in the gates. There was a paragraph, and I want to direct you to a paragraph, folks, on HomelandSecurityUS.com. Within the article, there is a paragraph in that article that was released this weekend, Easter Sunday, or the night before, I think it was. The intelligence insider, Obama, administration agenda to kill the U.S. dollar. And folks, that's at canadafreepress.com where you can feel free to comment on it. I'd urge you to share it with your family and friends. Oh, and by the way, there was a comment on one of the web forums. Well, there's nothing new in this article. Well, there is. So there is, and that's the China-Russia factor, which I really want to draw your attention to that. If you understand what's going on as well, as I detailed in my reports about Benghazi, we're at war with Russia. Well, there's going to be soon an event take place. Oh, and by the way, today is the New Year's Day for the Luciferian Illuminati people. We talk about them, the occultists. Today is their New Year's Day. They use the Babylonian calendar, and they're 12 years behind. So actually, today for the Illuminati, it's the New Year's Day 2001, because they're 12 years behind. But see, we're at war with Russia, and after we took out, when I say we, after the people in power took out Gaddafi from Libya, this regime, the black ops was immediately put into play. The logistics hub in Benghazi, they shipped out weapons up to Syria. And isn't it funny now we're hearing about what we talked about back in September? Folks, you listening to this program back in September, remember us talking about this? A chemical weapons event taking place in Syria? Well, we just had one, and it was actually a chlorine-based weapon, which is pretty easy. Not too many people get excited about that, although there were 31 people that were killed just outside of Aleppo. But you see, what is going to happen here with this, with the monetary system on one end and the Middle East situation on the other end, things are going to happen concurrently. Our State Department, we're arming the anti-Assad people. We are pushing in this Muslim Brotherhood regime into Syria. We want Assad replaced by the Muslim Brotherhood, and we are doing it at the behest of Saudi Arabia. But that's just a means to an end, because who's behind Saudi Arabia? Well, he who has the gold rules. Who's got the gold? Well, we're soon going to find out where that gold all is. Yes, Russia and China and London, the city of London. At any rate, we're at war with Russia. And because of Iran, we're at war with China. It's just not a hot war. It's not a shooting war. And isn't it? I believe it is Charles Soleimani, it's currency trade wars and shooting wars. Well, you might wonder why people like the Bush family have got estates in the Southern Hemisphere. In Paraguay, for example, why? Is it because they enjoy that Southern Hemisphere climate? No, because, well, maybe they do, but because of when this situation goes hot over in the Middle East, and we are being mired up in the Middle East, when a nuke does go off in response to a chemical weapons attack, and it will, it's going to affect all of the Northern Hemisphere. But I also mentioned, too, about the North Korea and South Korea before the last hour. Well, can you see what our enemy is doing to us? Can you see that our forces are being deliberately spread out? That all of a sudden we're everywhere. We can't be everywhere. Now we're juggling. We're juggling so many things. We got Afghanistan. We got Iraq. We've got Africa. Now we got North and South Korea. We got to send some people down there. We already have, 26,000 troops. So we got to send more. And Where else? You see, we're being spread out. That's the plan. Oh, and what happens when all of a sudden we don't have the oil, we don't have the gas, we don't have the ability to bring our folks home, we don't have the ability, the oil for our war machine, because, Diana, you hit it on the head, because we didn't drill here, we didn't rely here. It's a big trap. We're being spread out. That's from without, but from within, what are they doing? They're decimating the military too. Every veteran knows, every person involved in the military knows what's going on with the don't ask, well, that's gone, right? What am I saying? Don't ask, don't tell. No, with the, hey, we're defanging our military. We are destroying our military from within, just as we are destroying our country from within. We've got so many plates in the air. We've got so many balls in the air. We cannot possibly juggle them all. But that's intentional. You see, that one area here, that one particular paragraph that people missed in my article, that came right from the mouth of the intelligence source. The dust clouds are visible on the far horizon that we've been watchmen have been reporting for decades can now be seen as an attacking army. And visualize this in your mind if you can. An attacking army of barbarians whose fighters are now on the ladders and cannons are breaching our empire's outer walls. That's what's happening today. We don't know how long the inner walls, our internal support structure, will survive. We don't know if it's going to survive the next wave of the coming attack, and it's unlikely that it will. When I say a coming attack, it's going to be the asymmetrical war that we're fighting that includes the weakening of the military, the attack on our economy, and, of course, our ability to keep the dollar as the world reserve currency, which we won't be able to do. Why? Because, as I mentioned before, he who has the gold rules, the dirty little secret here, we don't have the gold. Folks, we don't have the gold. If you doubt, why can't we get an honest answer about an audit of Fort Knox? If you doubt we don't have the gold, why? What happened with the Federal Reserve and the gold there? And, oh yeah, back in the 70s, August 15th, 1971, when people were more concerned with having their Sunday television show Bonanza or Ponderosa interrupted, when Nixon announced that he instructed his Treasury Secretary Connally to take us off the gold standard completely because, hey, it was because of speculators. Well, not really. It was because of countries wanting gold instead of dollars. But yet people were more upset about the interruption to their television schedule on a Sunday night. But that's why Nixon did it on a Sunday night, just, you know, keep it out of the news, but for the next day and the market's open and what have you. But the bottom line is we don't have any gold. Oh, and if you doubt even that, then perhaps, well, I don't know. You can ask Colonel Edward Mandelhouse's granddaughter, who is really a kind of a stain on the sidewalk of New York City when she reportedly jumped to her death after stating that Fort Knox had no gold, or that we had no gold. Now, one more thing about this before the top of the hour, and I think this is important if you look at history. You see, understanding where we are today, you've got to understand where we've been. You've got to understand the history. Because if you don't understand the history, if you don't take books like this, The Naked Capitalist, and understand how we were set up, or books like The Naked Truth, The Naked Communist. If you don't get to these books, or even better yet, none dare call it conspiracy. By the way, this book was a dollar when it was written back in 1970 by Gary Allen, 1971 by Gary Allen. If you want an example of the devaluation of your dollar, did the cost of this book go up? No, the dollar was, dollars devalued, but I would direct you to if you're interested in history, because we don't have time to cover this, I would direct you to the following website, fofoa.blogspot.com. That's fofoa.blogspot.com. There you will find a history. It's called A Slow History. And I don't know who this person is. I just this one article. It's called A Checkmate to Slow History. I don't know who the author is. It really doesn't matter, because the message is clear. He states this: building a coherent, cohesive narrative around the events of the past is a natural part of our process of understanding. And every good story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But what if the end is still in the future, kind of like we're dealing with today? Well, there was a gentleman who coined the term slow history. And this particular website goes and talks about the slow history, the student of slow history who has no faith at all in consensus wisdom, official truth, and everyone knows chestnuts, little blurbs like that, is willing to rest enormous judgments on a single, indisputable, authentic primary source. But anyway, this author draws this analogy between fast food versus slow food and slow history and what have you. But what I really would draw your attention to is this assimilation or this grouping of newspaper clippings that was amassed, that has been amassed by this particular author of this website, beginning in 1947 and going all the way to, I believe it's 1979, 1980, something like that. And it all has to do with gold in the big picture. If we look back to the monetary conferences back in the early 20th century, specifically if we look back to the monetary conference in Italy back in 1922, that really set the finite timeline of the dollar in motion, more so than even the creation of the Fed in 1913, the creation of the Federal Reserve, folks, it just simply put the U.S. on equal footing with the rest of the world in terms of the ability to have a flexible monetary base, which helped make the international move in Genoa, Italy, possible. You see, even though the U.S. wasn't directly involved in the European monetary negotiations that took place in Italy back in 1922, it was acknowledged that any new monetary order was likely to be a U.S.-centered system, a Western-backed system. Well, we got the Roaring Twenties. It wasn't just a short-lived period of this superficial prosperity in America. It was also a time when a great privilege was granted to the United States that would last for, really, the next 90 years. It was unwittingly granted, because the U.S. did not participate in the negotiations that led to this privilege. Jacques Rauf wrote in his book from 1972, and you can find a lot of interesting books from the 70s. It was called The Monetary Sin of the West. He writes, "The situation I'm going to analyze was neither brought about or specifically wanted by the United States," referring to this central banking system. "It was the outcome of an unbelievable collective mistake." Well, not really, but we'll give them we'll just let that go for a second. When people became aware of it, will be viewed by history as an object of astonishment and scandal. You see, it was not a mistake, although he points this out. It was an intentional, deliberate, orchestrated conspiracy. Look at the newspaper clippings that will bear that my assertion out, where this was a deliberate, we are witnessing a deliberate takedown of the dollar at the very same time we are witnessing the deliberate takedown of the country. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report on this, the first day, April Fool's, first day of April 2013. I'm Doug Hagmann. With me, not tonight, but he'll be back tomorrow night, is my co-host Joe Hagmann. And together we are the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We see the far side of the news. We deliver the important news in 3D. So get your Hagmann and Hagmann 3D glasses, because you're going to need them for the next hour. We're going to be taking your calls. I'll be taking your calls for the next hour. So get in line now. Get in line now. We'll be taking your calls. And don't forget, Wednesday, and we got
better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagmann here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Elements as the debate intensifies over how to protect gun ownership rights while reducing gun violence. Several states now anticipating the passage, perhaps, of something, some sort of ban at the federal level, are passing or pursuing their own legislation. In particular, legislation that would say firearms made and then kept entirely within a state's borders, they don't cross interstate lines, would not be subject to any federal regulations. But is that legal? Joining us now, Judge Andrew Napolitano, our Fox News senior judicial analyst. So as I read it, I think about nine states since the new push for gun control has started have submitted bills that are working their way through these legislatures, but 15 in total have either already passed or are looking at some sort of measure to say, feds, you can do whatever you want. President Obama, you can do whatever you want, but you're not going to mess with Arizona, Colorado, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Nebraska, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, or Wyoming.
You know, if this were 200 years ago and the Constitution were new and it meant what it said, this legislation would make sense, because at the time Congress only regulated commercial goods that actually passed from one state to the next. This is the so-called Commerce Clause, Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce. But that clause has been so blown out of proportion, Megan, by presidents and Congresses and Supreme Courts, that Congress now legislate almost anything it wants, even something that doesn't move from one state to another, even something that isn't commercial in nature, simply because in some theoretical way, its movement or non-movement might have some effect on interstate commerce.
Yes, and we saw this in the lead-up to the health care debate,
yes,
where the president said the Commerce Clause allowed it, which, by the way, the Supreme Court rejected. But he based that argument on Wickard v. Filburn, which is an ages-old case. You learn about it in law school, or some guy growing wheat in his own backyard and not distributing it to anybody was said to affect interstate commerce. And so that wheat never left his backyard. These guns will never leave these states. But you tell me, Judge, why would these states be trying to tee up, because that's what some of them say, they're trying to tee up a challenge that would go to the Supreme Court in light of some pretty clear precedents that the federal law will prevail over these individual state laws here?
That's a great question. I think there's probably a couple of different lines of thought behind it. One is that if enough states agree, Congress might back down. Remember, the states can amend the Constitution independent of the Congress if enough of them want to. Another is, it's a different Supreme Court. It's a Supreme Court that twice within the past 5 years has upheld the individual right to keep and bear arms and basically said to states and cities, don't try interfering with that right. So they may very well carve out an exception to Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce when it comes to a fundamental right, like the right to keep and bear arms. But on its face, as much as I love this legislation, and as much as I wish it would be constitutional, it is directly opposed to 60 years of Commerce Clause jurisprudence, which basically lets Congress regulate anything it wants.
But do you see anything in the recent health care ruling? Because that President Obama won that case based on his power to tax us,
right?
Not on his powers under the Commerce Clause, or Congress's powers under the Commerce Clause, I should say. Is there anything in that decision that suggests a more narrow interpretation of the federal government's abilities to regulate us if we stay within state borders, and perhaps some hope for these states that they'll get a different result? Or maybe they think this court won't see things the way the Wickard v. Filburn court saw things.
Right. Well, Wickard v. Filburn, as you say, is the farmer growing wheat in his backyard. But listen to the rationale that the court used. Because some of that wheat was watered by water that originated in Indiana.
And that's where they're going to go with the guns.
Ohio.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this, the final hour of this April Fool's Day of 2013. The absence of Steve Quayle and V, contrary to some emails I just got, is not an April Fool's joke. I don't play April Fool's jokes. The Financial Insider I spoke with, he's very, very sick. Like I said, apparently people didn't understand when I said that this man was very sick. To bring him on would not only be cruel and unusual punishment for him, but for you as well, because you would not be able to understand him. And Steve decided, we decided that Steve would come on with him later this week in a show to be announced after he gets better. So please, ladies and gentlemen, this is not some sort of setup, bait and switch, April Fool's joke. Don't even go there. It insults me, it insults the show, the integrity of the show as well. But that said, I'm going solo here. Go ahead and get in line for your calls. I'll be taking them this hour at 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. And I want to say a big thank you to Troy at Christians United Broadcasting Network, who has done an incredible job setting up our video site. He's hosting this. He is actually hosting this with his own servers at, of course, www.thehagmanandhagmanreport.com. Spell it all out, no ampersands, spell it all out, .com. There you can see me, if you wish, in living color high definition. I'm not sure if you want to. Again, bring back the blue dot. Joe will be back tomorrow. He is done with a migraine. The other thing left is my German Shepherd to be sick, and I don't know. One thing before we go to the phones, and I'm opening the phones right now. In fact, the phones are open now. I just want to draw things together here. If you compare, and I've seen this comparison made between Nazi Germany and the United States, the most discerning analysis that I've seen about the failure of the body of Christ, the church, for example, in Nazi Germany was outlined by an evangelical pastor. He preached a very moving sermon to his very weary congregation. His words should cause us to stop and ponder for a moment about where we are here in the United States, about the relevance to us in the United States. You see, in April of 1945, amid the ruins of a defeated Germany, this German theologian and pastor spoke movingly to his congregation. It was in Stuttgart, about the meaning of all that had happened. Why did it happen? What happened? I mean, can you imagine 1945 Germany after going through all of that? In a message that it had to leave his people, the people who listened to it, just spellbound. He said that the nation got what it deserved, that Germany got what they deserved because it had repudiated forgiveness and kicked down the cross of our Lord. Think about that. Is this not what we've done? Have we not have repudiated forgiveness and kicked down the cross of our Lord? Don't we kick down that cross every time that we embrace the sins of greed, of homosexuality, of abortion, of all of this? Is this not what we're doing? Look around. How can Christians be silent? This gentleman, this pastor's very powerful critique of what had gone wrong in a nation that was Christian, and Germany, by the way, was very Christian. He said that the cross of Christ had been neglected, thus the church was blinded to Germany's military efforts and their fascist designs. The church had overlooked its greatest danger, namely that in gaining the entire world or attempting to do so, it would lose and did lose its own soul. That's talking about the body of Christ in Germany. The heart of the matter, he said, was this: denying God and casting down the cross is never merely a private decision that concerns only one's inner life and personal salvation, but this denial immediately brings the most brutal consequences for the whole of historical life, and especially for one's own people. Wow. God, he said, is not mocked. The history of the world can tell us terrible tales based on that sentence alone, based on that text alone. God is not mocked. In history, he says, the invisible is mightier than the visible. Anybody who still has not grasped This is 1945 Germany. Anyone who still has not grasped that Germany with its program was wrecked precisely on this dangerous rock called God. And nothing else, has no eyes to see. Because he sees only individual catastrophes, he no longer sees the basic cardinal catastrophe behind them all. And then finally, he said, the worship of success is generally the form of idol worship the devil cultivates most adeptly. We could observe in the first years after 1933 the almost suggestive compulsion that emanates from the great successes and how the influence of these successes, even Christians, stopped asking in whose name and at what price they were achieved. Success is the greatest narcotic of all. Pretty powerful words, I would say. When a nation forgets God, folks, look that up on Amazon. Grab yourself a copy. Make it two or three. Pass them out to friends. We're going to go to the phones. Let's go right to area code 303. We don't screen calls. Area code 303, you're on live with Doug Hagman solo.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
Man. Amen to that. Amen to that. Anything you'd like to add? You always open, by the way, with a very beautiful word of God. And I want to thank you for that, because we need that.
I want to thank the Lord God for everything he does for me and every prayer he doesn't answer for me, because God is merciful and God knows God is in charge. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you and your son and all the listeners for having this hub where we can have faith in the Lord, our creator, the great Adonai. With everything happening in the world, let's not fear what these wicked people can do. Let's fear our God, let's put him first, and let's embrace his law.
I couldn't have said it better, caller. God bless you, my friend. And I want to thank you very much for your words of encouragement. Thank you again for that. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to say this. Those of you who are listening alone and thinking the walls are closing in, and if you've got no one, you do have someone. You've got God, of course. You also have the ability to you've got the ability to reach out to your extended family. You get the ability to reach out to us. You see, when people call us alarmists, or call me specifically an alarmist, I embrace that, because I want to be that watchman. I want to fulfill that watchman role, because for the longest time I couldn't see what was really going on. And kind of like those scales falling from your eyes, once you see it, holy cow, it's there. Beautiful caller, by the way. Going back to the phones, we're going to go to area code 304. We don't screen. Or you're up.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Doug.
Evening, sir.
Yeah, you're doing good by flying by yourself there tonight. Really, every time I listen to you, I always learn. And I loved your passion a while ago. Kind of lost my train of thought with that last caller, but if people don't understand how dangerous a time that this is, and what a heaviness that some of us feel. And it just doesn't go away. And it's like you said, when your eyes are open, it's like you can't shut them again. And you got to speak
trauma,
out.
Right?
Pardon me?
It's really not pleasant to reside, you know, have your eyes open. It's not a, sorry about that, I got distracted. It's not a pleasant place to be by seeing these things take place and by thinking, and you try to wake others up to the fact that's going on, and people don't get it, or that it's troubling when that happens.
Yeah, but, you know, but still with our, we have the Lord, and there's a lot of people without him, and I don't know, and I guess that's why they hide their head in the sand or do whatever they do, because I guess they got nothing else. But he calls us to to watch.
Got the work. That's
and
right.
To pray.
That's right. Work. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I want to thank you so much, you know, for reminding us as, you know, as watchmen, we focus and people not stray off and trails. And boy, I'll tell you, it's so hard to really stay on target sometimes. You end up going chasing down, or, you know, it's just difficult. But I want to thank you for your words of encouragement.
Yes. No, you guys just have a great night, and I hope Joe get better, and that's be praying for
you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We are going to area code right now, and again, we don't screen calls, so surprise. Area code 713, you're up with Doug Hatt, solo.
Oh, hey, Doug, how are you?
Very well.
Great.
What's on your mind?
Well, I had a comment. I know the last couple of weeks you have been talking about the banking crisis in Cyprus, and I've been following that topic frequently over the past couple of years. I started following it when the bankruptcy started happening in 2008, and I wanted to bring it to your attention and the listeners. You know, everybody heard of MF Global, and they pretty much stole about $1.2 billion of customer cash and gold and silver contracts and then filed for bankruptcy. And there was also one called Sentinel. And Sentinel happened before MF Global, and the court actually ruled on it about August of 2012. And it was a very concerning ruling. And basically, there's a U.S. Circuit Judge, John D. Tender, who had a ruling on it, and he quoted that Sentinel, which is the brokerage firm, failed to keep client funds properly segregated, which is not on its own sufficient to rule as a matter of law that Sentinel acted with actual intent to hinder, delay, or defraud its customers. So basically, what that ruling said, and I found it in a Reuters article, basically the court ruling said that once your money passes out of your physical possession, and I mean physical possession, you know, as far as like you deposit it into a bank or a brokerage, it is no longer yours, and you have no legal claim or legal recourse to it when it is stolen. This includes bank accounts, you know, brokerage firms, whatever. So money in a bank is in the possession of the bank and not you. So basically, that ruling, the entire system is utterly devoid of any integrity or genuine security. And it just shows how everything is kind of breaking down now before our very eyes, because it's happened with Sentinel, MF Global, some other brokerage firms, and we know a lot of banks have gone under and have gotten bought out and consolidated by the big guys, the big banks. But this is one of the very first cases in Cyprus where they actually just came in, and I saw one case today where an IT company had about $825,000 in their bank account, and they actually took $700,000 out of their account, which is, what is that, about 80%+. And so the company had to lay off their Cyprus employees, and it's probably going to shut down. So you know, I really appreciate the fact you're covering this and you're warning people, because one thing that I learned when I grew up is possession is 9/10 of the law, and I think people have forgotten that.
That's very well said. Now, what's your take, however, on what we possess, and that being the Federal Reserve notes? If we take we could take the money out of the bank and put it in a cookie jar on our counter and have possession of it. But what about protecting us from the devaluation aspect of the dollar?
Well, my degree is in economics. I have a BS in economics, and I did work in the financial brokerage area for a little while and got out because I didn't like it. But one of the things I learned is that the Federal Reserve is funny money. It's not really lawful money. It's legal money, but not lawful. And it's a debt note. So basically, when you have dollars in your pocket, it's Federal Reserve notes, and those are property of the Federal Reserve. It is not your currency. So when you deposit that in the bank, you are, as you said tonight, a second class creditor, and the people who do the derivatives would have a first priority over you. So what would happen is, like in Cyprus, they legally took the money without violating any laws, because those people had bank contracts. When you go to a bank and you sign up an account, you know, I recently went to a bank and they didn't want to give me their legal policies, but I demanded it, and they gave me about 20 pages, and I said, well, is this it? And they said, no, that there's a whole lot more, but, you know, I'm not going to give it to you. So I only got like 20-some-odd pages, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that you need to read, and it talks about hypothecation in there, so you are granting them the ability to take your money and make bets with it. And so if they lost the bet, they would go under, and you would be behind a lot of other, you know, creditors.
That's right. You didn't think, or people don't think, that their money is financing their neighbor's cruise on Carnival Lines, you know, but that's exactly what's taking place. Not only their cruise, but maybe 40 or 50 other people's cruises as well. So when you go to get that money, it's gone. But so your degree is in economics. Where would you put your money today? If you had, $5,000 in the bank, you take that money out, would you leave that money in the cookie jar in the form of Federal Reserve notes? What would you do with it? If that was just your IRA or 401k, what would you do with it?
Well, I can't give financial advice, but I can tell you what I would do for myself. One of the things is that the government counts on inflation. Inflation is the hidden tax. So the inflation has been averaging about 10% over the past couple of years. So you're losing 10% of your money every year, and they're not paying any interest rates because they are taking your deposits and earning the money there and using that to build up their bank balance and make bets. So what I would do is just keep enough money in the bank to pay your bills for a couple of, you know, 1, 2, 3 months, however much you can afford. And I would use, you know, some of the money, if you can afford it, you know, for stuff, physical stuff like food and water and just supplies in case any accident happens or a storm or any event. And if you have any money left over after that, you know, buy some junk silver or silver coins or something that is not going to, people can't print up precious metals. So I would definitely include that. And you need to find a source to buy and sell, and even find like-minded people, you know, who you can trade with. So instead of taking it to a precious metals dealer, which, you can go to a person and maybe trade with a person that you know.
Very well said. Matter of fact, I asked a butcher here in town if he would ever consider taking gold or silver, I'm not gold, silver coins, silver round, I guess called rounds, silver rounds,
yeah,
in lieu of cash. And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I said, well, how would you value that? He says, well, just whatever the value would be, you know, I would take it. So, I mean, there are people that are open to this. So, yeah, we just have to talk, and who knows? I mean, and I wouldn't do it today because the money, of course, is still of value. But certainly think about that if you're worried about not having a place to spend your silver or whatever. But you're right.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because that is a great idea. You know, most people have a butcher or vendors who they've done business with for a long time. And you might just get in a conversation and talk about the economy and just mention, hey, if worse comes to worse, you know, and I brought in a silver coin, you know, would you take that as payment? You know, would I need to set up an account and would you credit it at that day's price? And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of folks who'd rather have that.
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised too. But this guy's been in business for a number of years. And actually, that's where we get our chicken from, and he raises his chickens and stuff. But he knows what's going on. He knows, you know, the way of the world. So,
I saw a store in Arizona. It was a gun store, and he actually there was an article and online that I saw that he told people bring in your silver, and you can purchase, you know, weapons with silver.
Wow.
And in some states, Utah and maybe one other state is now taking the American silver and gold eagles as payment for property tax.
Really?
For
at the government? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The state of Utah is the first state, and they made it legal to pay for your property tax with only the American silver eagle and gold eagle. So you can't bring in a big bar or whatever. You have to use the American coins, but
okay.
You know, they are taking that. Of course, it's a great deal for them. I mean, you know, I think I would use it as a last resort, but you know, you can always use that for property tax and keep a year or more of property tax if you can, just to keep your house.
And that's what it's all about: preservation of wealth and preserving what you've got. You know, I mean, what else can you do? So. Well,
I'm glad you brought that up because that statement is very important. It's not about what you can earn today. It's about what you can preserve.
Man, that's true. You got that right, my friend. Hey, cut you loose. God bless you.
Bye.
Take care now. Yeah, it is what you can preserve. It's not about making money. It's about preserving money at this point and getting out of the way, like we said. All right, we're going to go to the 7. We're going to just kind of whip through these phone calls as quickly as we can. We're going to go to 719. 719, you're up with Doug Hagman.
Hi, Doug. It's Donna in Pueblo. I just wanted to say my prayers to your son. I hope he feels better. And to be, if he's listening, my prayers to him to feel better. And that's what I wanted to say that. And one of the things I wanted to say for encouragement, because sometimes when you study this, I thought I was depressed, and I realized that I wasn't depressed, but I was mourning. You know, when you first get the scales lifted off your eyes and you start studying the stuff that, you know, we talk about on the show and looking at all the, you know, people that are actually that evil that would do something like that, it's sort of a shock to people. I know, because when I try to talk to people, nobody wants to listen. And even in families, like you had mentioned, discussing stuff over the holidays, they really just don't want to hear it. And that's hard, you know, and you try to bring it up, like you said, and, you know, maybe Cyprus, look what's going on, you know, look at history. I always say that, look at history. But nobody wants to look. And one of the things I wanted to say was that when David went against Goliath if you can think of it in that vernacular, it wasn't that David was stronger than Goliath. It was that David had faith in God above all. That's why he went, because he had faith, not because
right.
He was stronger. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, I agree and understand. As a matter of fact, on our website. Hopefully I can get this up by tomorrow. The author of a book, Strength for Tough Times, basically, has allowed us to offer the PDF copy free of charge. And this book has actually, I mean, it's a tremendous asset. So not only are we giving you the bad news, so to speak, but we're also going to be able to give you hope for these difficult times in the form of a book that was written specifically for tough times. So watch for that on HomelandSecurityUS.com.
And then a lot of people are out. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, we just need this. We need this this balance, you know, we need something to grab onto and to say, you know, boy, I need something uplifting to offset the bad stuff. Go ahead.
The other thing is a lot of people are claiming, you know, to leave the country, like get out now, get your passport, go to South America, because I guess all of the Bush families, like you had mentioned earlier in the show, but also Soros and I can't think of them all. There's too many. My brain's not working. They're all buying property down there. I guess it's becoming more and more blatant that they're doing it, and obviously they have a heads up on something, or they wouldn't be going to Chile, Paraguay, Ecuador, just to name a few. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what's going down there. Maybe they have their own army, and that's why they can go down there for compounds, but I don't see how going to another country like that when you can't speak the language. And also, if you don't have a private security to, you know, enforce your own compound down there, because their government switch around. And if this is going to be worldwide, then I don't see how leaving is going to, I just don't see where packing up and leaving and going to another country is going to make it any safer. I think probably the best bet would be for me living alone. I am alone, by the way. I have family, but I'm the only Christian. So that makes me feel even more alone because I have to keep defending the Bible's authenticity, and it's wearing on me, but I'm not giving up. But, you know, batten down the hatches, maybe do bars on my windows. I mean, that's where I'm kind of facing. Do I, you know, I can afford to do that, put heavy duty bars because I have a brick home, so with a very good basement. And I think that's maybe, you know, battening down and just riding it out. I don't know anything else I could do. I mean, would you suggest, like, selling the house or trying to sell it if you could, or just renting a farmhouse somewhere? I mean, when you say get out of the way, I guess that's kind of what I'd like you to explain a little bit. Because I'm not in – I'm Pueblo, sort of 2 hours south of Denver, actual Denver metro, but it is considered a poor area. I would guess probably most of it – I don't know for sure, but a lot of food stamps, entitlement programs down here. It's considered the poorest area of Colorado. So I'll take my answer off air. But
All right. And I'm going to do my best to answer. God bless you for the call.
And I, like you said, I'll keep praying for those guys. Okay, bye.
Thanks. Yeah, Joe will be back tomorrow night. V will be, the Financial Insider will be back as soon as he can talk with clarity, and I know how that is, folks. Holy cow. And again, for those just tuning in, if you are just tuning in, the reason it was not an April Fool's joke. It was a series of illnesses that really hit us hard here. The getting out of the way simply means is not putting yourself in the way of what's coming. In other words, taking yourself out of the system, take your money out of the 401ks and investments. This is what I would do. I'm not giving financial advice. I mean, when I say get out of the way, I want to get out of the way. I don't want to lose my money. If I lose my money, I want to lose it on my own. I don't want to be, I don't want it stolen from me. End of story. Now, moving, selling the house, that's such a personal decision, and it's so unique to everyone's station in life. I can't answer that for you. I wish I could. If you're in the city, I certainly would consider me. I'd consider selling if you're in the city or in an area prone. And if you had the money, I'd buy like a plot of land with some farm acreage. And you can raise chickens or something, or I don't know, raise crops if you can. That's what I mean by getting out of the way. Back to the phones. We're going to go to area code 626. You're up.
Hello, Doug Hagman.
Hello there.
Hello, this is John calling from the quiet, peaceful streets of Pasadena.
John from Pasadena? Gotta love that, man. Just tell me what you're
Well, hey, I just want to say, first of all, God bless you. You know, I've been with you guys since the beginning, and I like it when you fly solo from time to time. And I like it when Joe does as well.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks. It tonight was like, holy cow, you know, 7 minutes and bang. Here we go.
Doug, I had called with something else in mind, but I feel spirit-led. With your permission, I'd like to just say a quick prayer for V and
yes,
for his quick recovery, if I may. And then I just have one quick comment with regard to what Donna was just talking about.
Okay.
And that'll be it for me for tonight. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. Scripture tells us where two or more are gathered, you are with us as well, and we are many tonight, Father. And Lord God, on a personal note, I repent. I repent of my sins, and I also repent, Father, on behalf of this great nation. And we especially want to lift V up tonight, Lord. V is a man of great courage and excellent information. And Lord God, I was so pleased in my heart to hear him speak more of his faith last time he was on as well. So we just bind whatever illness has overtaken him, and we lift him up in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. And I know he appreciates that very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, V is as cool as they come. I mean, when he was on in January, I believe that was a Thursday, he nailed the Japan thing. I mean, that was front page of the Wall Street Journal the following Monday. You know,
yeah,
he really hit that one out of the park.
Oh, he did.
But
yeah.
He certainly did. Well, Doug, what I'd like to do, you were so gracious with giving me time last week, so I'll be brief. I want to encourage the audience, every single one, especially when I hear from someone like Donna, who I feel like I know, although we've never met, but none of us are alone. That's number one. Absolutely not. In fact, listening to this show has become sort of, you know, my favorite kind of fellowship time of the day, really. And about a year ago, I've been preparedness-minded, you could say, for about 4 years now. And I won't go into the story of how I woke up, but what I would like to talk about quickly is the reassurance that we find all throughout Scripture. And I would strongly recommend that folks pick up the Bible, read Exodus, read about how wonderfully the Lord took care of his children as they escaped slavery, and also read up on Gideon. On a personal note, about a year ago, I reread the story of Gideon, and I just said, Lord, I've been living in major cities for 20 years, San Francisco, and then 15 years here in L.A., and I know that something's coming, and I have a pretty good idea of what, have a pretty good idea of who and why, but what I don't know is when. And I just said, Father God, I don't have a 401k. I don't have a McMansion. So I'm offering the most valuable thing I do have, and that's my job. And I was in a nice six-figure income working for Warner Brothers at the time. And the Lord was faithful. I'd been on this particular show for 3 years, and without ever receiving any type of reprimands or constructive criticism about my performance or anything of that nature, they opted not to bring me back for the next season. And I'll tell you what, Doug, the reason I wanted to share this tonight is because the Lord does answer prayer. He certainly does. And often his answers, well, they just require a strong faith element. And I find often that the answers will come through Scripture as well. But what I wanted to encourage everybody with tonight is the way that things have worked out. Doug, with almost no effort on my part at all, I met this amazing family. They live up on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State. They have a ranch. They're veterinarians by trade. And they need extra help. And I'm about to make a massive move. In fact, I was packing my library as I listened to you tonight.
Wow.
And God really opened up the doors. And it was just through the simplicity of prayer and having faith.
Isn't that wonderful? And wow. See,
isn't that cool?
Yeah, you've got to have that faith. You've got to let go and let God. And I know that sounds trite, but it's what you did. You know, you just put it, laid it all out and said, look, man, just help me do it. Help me do it.
Absolutely.
And, that's fantastic.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just wanted to quickly, I have a little practical tip that the Hagman family may enjoy. If folks want to store food, okay, I have found a method that is fantastic and it's really cheap. If you visit your local bakery or donut shop, they go through a lot of food grade buckets. And food grade buckets are kind of like, you know, a orange Homer bucket from Home Depot, but they're special plastic that's preferred for food, for long-term storage. They will often give those buckets away for free, or in my case, they charge me $2, and they come with a lid. You wash them out well, and about $30 to $40 enables you to put up a good 25 pounds of food, different kinds of rice, different kinds of beans. You know, canned chicken and tuna goes on sale all the time, and even making preparations for your pets that way. So there's no need to buy these food-grade buckets for $20 a piece from some of these preparedness sites. Your local donut shop or bakery will supply you with all you need. And it makes you feel good. You know, you get a couple hundred pounds laid up, you start feeling satisfied.
You're doggone right. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you put it in, for example, let's just talk about rice really quickly as a practical thing, because people have these questions. Do you put the rice in like a Mylar type bag, or why do you do it?
Well,
how do you store
it? You can. Now, here in L.A., we have the 99-cent only store. It's a chain, and they really, it's fantastic. You can pay, I can pick up 24 ounces of dried rice or beans for $1. So each bucket typically gets between 12 and 20 cans of protein, of tuna, canned chicken. I even picked up a couple cases of Spam when it went on sale. That sounds like it might be up your alley. fried Spam sandwich. And then I round it out. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you got that right. Now, do you put...
And then I just round each bucket out with about 6 pounds each of rice and beans. I put coffee and I put tea in there. I put matches and I put some form of light in every single one. If you want to do bulk food packaging, I recommend, in fact, I want to give three quick book recommends and then I'll run. James Rawls, Rawles, wrote an excellent nonfiction book called How to Survive and Thrive at the End of the World as We Know It. It's like maybe $16-17. That's the basis right there. That's a good foundation for getting preparedness minded.
I know the book.
So that author, once again, is Rawls. And he's done a lot of good work. He writes pretty good fiction, too. The other two books I wanted to mention, and I'm sure you've read them both, folks, The Creature from Jekyll Island. You've got to get this book. It changes your value system. It changes your perception about money. And, Doug, you've been doing a phenomenal job the last couple weeks in really getting us up to speed on the monetary, the fiduciary aspect of what's happening, because really that is, I think, the final tether on the balloon, so to speak. So The Creature from Jekyll Island, also available in paperback. And lastly, and I saved the last one because I think it's the most important, folks, you've got to read The Harbinger by Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He's a Christian. He's got a big ministry in New Jersey. That book, boy, I'll tell you what, you put the book down and you go straight to your knees.
I've read that book. I've watched the DVD. I understand. The Harbinger is a fantastic book. It does put everything in perspective. My goodness, it really does. Three great selections. The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin, very good book as well. That does open some eyes. If you want None Dare Call a Conspiracy, it's a good book as well. And then the Clause and Searle. Absolutely.
Hey, Doug, let me ask you a quick question, and then I'll run, let somebody else have a turn. Have you read the book Patriots?
Brad Thor? No.
Yeah, it's considered faction. It's fiction within fact-based systems, so to speak.
It doesn't sound familiar offhand.
Okay, I have an extra copy. I'm going to send it to you. I think you'll enjoy it and maybe even might want to share it with Joe.
Oh, absolutely. We will do. Appreciate that. Well, God bless. Just be careful in your move and just tell Howling Mad Murdoch down there and that I miss him.
If I bump into him, I'll tell you what, I'd be a lot more excited to meet Howling Mad Doug Agnew. that's my goal.
Well, one day we'll meet, my friend. God bless you.
Right.
Thanks for your call. All right.
Yeah, God bless you. Take care.
Oh, from the streets of Pasadena, from the streets of Los Angeles. Let's go to 231 really quick. Did I do that one? No. Producer, hello. All right, let's do 231. 231, you're up with Doug Agnew. You can close out the show. I hear you. It's that delay. Yeah. You're up. 3-1.
The government counts on inflation.
All right. We're going to just move along here. Did I get them all? 254. Let me go to 254 here. I'll move along here.
Did I get
them
all?
I can hear.
254.
Come on in. I can hear. This is the
Hello,
Baby Alive Radio.
Joseph. Are you there?
Good to Yes, I'm here. Let me check.
Oh, man. I didn't expect to get into you, but just praise the Father that I did. I've enjoyed your show, and I talked to a lot of different people. One thing that I wanted to mention, when I found out about the conspiracy about the government about 7 years ago, I found out a lot about other conspiracies where they removed the Father's name out of the Bible 6,800 times. And then the Roman Catholic Church has everyone on the Gregorian Pope calendar, and they run all of the holidays too. So anyone on the Gregorian calendar is running the Roman Catholic holidays. So not only did I find out about a conspiracy in the government, I found out about a conspiracy in religions as well. So I just thought I'd mention that. But one thing that lady was saying, me and my wife both moved out of the town. We got out of Babylon. We got out of the system. We farm. We raise chickens and goats now. We took our 401k out and bought us a little RV so we could be mobile. But one thing for sure is what you guys always preach is Abraham bought a field for 40 pieces of silver. The Messiah was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and silver is still money today. But one thing that the scripture says, they're going to be throwing their silver and gold in the streets because you can't eat it. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for sharing. I want to say thanks so much, and Just thanks for your call, and stay listening. God bless you, my friend. All right. Wow. You know, folks, time goes so quickly. I got to tell you, it's we really don't have time for, to be fair, to another caller. And I want to say to everyone on hold, thank you very much for holding, and I apologize for not getting to you. I want to say this in closing, ladies and gentlemen, that this is no April Fool's joke tonight. This is no April Fool's issue at all. We had a situation where our insiders are very, very ill, and please pray for him. Pray for his health. Again, it's a viral issue. The guy's just miserable, and would have come on, but she wouldn't have understood him, and he probably wouldn't have lasted. And Steve will bring him on here at a later time. So tomorrow, Joe and I in studio. You can catch us. Thank you to Cuban Christians United Broadcasting Network, where you can watch us in high-def video. Again, if you want me to put the bag over my head as opposed to the blue dot, I could probably do that too. But that's at www.thehagmanandhagmanreport.com. And you can also listen to us there as well. And our home base is HomelandSecurityUS.com. And don't forget about CanadaFreePress.com. But tomorrow, Joe and I, Wednesday, Stan Dale, Thursday, Paul McGuire. And we're going to try to fit Paul Begley in there as well, and some other things coming up in the next couple of weeks. And just want to say thank you very much for your time tonight. My apologies. It was not what you expected, but then what do you expect from the show where you can't really, don't know what to expect? Folks, what have you done to prepare today? Have you taken an extra step? If not, maybe take two baby steps tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great night.